Conversations like the one you are about to hear are supported by NetForce PC. From fixing your home PC or Mac to complete managed IT services for your company's network, NetForce PC can help. NetForcePC.com.
Good morning, KSJD. This is River Radio. I'm your host, Sam Carter. Welcome and thanks for joining us. Today is March 9th. And today we're starting a three-part series that's going to happen this month in March, in April, and in May. We're going to cover the spill that's coming on the Dolores this year, the big, fantastic spill. And we're also going to talk about the relationships amongst, between the various stakeholders of the Dolores River. In this first month, we're going to have one of the water managers on the air talking about their angle on managing water and relationships. Next month, we'll have an irrigator here from Montezuma County who works with Dolores River Water to raise crops and animals. And in the last month, in May, we will have on a boater, a river boater, to talk about those same kind of things, the relationship with the water and with the other folks. Today, we're starting off with Vern Harrell. Vern is the chief engineer with the Bureau of Reclamation at McPhee Dam. His job is to manage that dam well. Vern, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
And Vern is back. Vern has been with us several times. And in fact, Vern is the impetus for River Radio. He gave me the idea a long time ago that we should have a radio show. And so for a while, Vern and I shared it. And now I get to do it all by myself. But that's fun to always to have Vern back. So Vern, the Dolores River, this place of incredible scenery and world-class boating, is going to have a spill. Maybe a spill to remember this year. Tell us about the spill.
Well, it should be a pretty large one. I mean, we're looking right now. It is March, so you know our forecasts are still somewhat inaccurate. But we're looking at 270,000 acre feet to release this between April and June.
Is that a lot of water?
That's a lot of water. I've never done one that big.
And what does that mean, 270,000 acre feet, in terms of flows? What are the flows over that two-month period going to look like?
Well, we will have 60-plus days of boating flows, 800 CFS and greater. Mm-hmm. And of those 60-plus days, we'll have 45 days of 2,000 or greater. We'll actually have 4 days at 4,000 CFS. I think that'll be probably the record that we've let out for that period of time.
And I assume you don't exactly know when those 4 days for 4,000 CFS are, but you have maybe an idea.
Yeah, we're trying to time it to where it peaks the same as the Upper Dolores, which is around May 21st, somewhere in there. Uh-huh. So that's the plan right now. And then have a Memorial Day weekend and run 2,500 from there on out. It's a big spill, Sam. There's going to be a lot of boating.
When do you feel like it's going to officially turn on and become boatable down there?
It'll probably be the second and third week of April.
All right. And so then shutting down middle June?
Yeah, third week in June probably. Okay. We'll be ramped down to base flows.
What are the variables at play that can influence this spill?
Oh, the forecast is one. Like I said, the March forecast is not as accurate as the April and May forecast. Mm-hmm. It's a good planning tool right now, but the forecast can change, you know, with the weather and the temperatures. You know, when's it going to come down? Are we going to have to move the spill up because it's hot early, or will it follow the norm?
Mm-hmm. And when there's more water like there is this year, there seems to be efforts to do maintenance work with the water. What kind of special operations are y'all looking at doing this year with some of that water in the river corridor itself?
Well, we're looking, you know, with the higher 2,000 plus flows, that'll move a lot of sediment, roll some rocks around and clean out the channel. We're thinking we're going to do a lot of good channel work this year with the up to the 4,000. And then we'll also have water for fish shocking. You know, the CPW goes down and takes an electrofishing raft and is hopefully going to do quite a bit of the river. We should have enough season for them to do that and find out what the status of the native fish are down there.
And just to be clear, that electroshocking is not killing them, but just,
no, it just
knocking
stuns
them out for a little while. They can be handled. Last question on the spill. Why is it so big this year? why don't we have a spill this big every year?
Well, good Lord's smiling on us this year. You know, we did come into the year with a lot of carryover storage. But even if we didn't, this is a big enough spill that we would have still had a large spill, even if we came into it empty. So, yeah, there's a lot of water up there, Sam.
As a water manager, are you excited for this kind of spill?
Yeah, I am.
Why?
It's just going to be we're going to do stuff we haven't been able to do in the past. We're going to make, I mean, this is one of those things you can make a lot of people happy and you didn't really do anything. I like that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So what we're going to talk about here in the second half of the show is relationships between various stakeholders. When we say stakeholders, we're talking about the people who take the water from the Dolores and put it to some sort of use. That use can be boating on it and leaving it in the river. That use can be bringing it into municipalities for the service of plumbing and homes, parks. And then irrigators are certainly using this water as well to raise crops and livestock. So you're a water manager. You work for the Bureau of Reclamation. But we're also going to set that aside and talk to you as Vern Harrell, a citizen from this county. Been here a long time, went to high school here, is that right?
Yes.
And so really the question is, what kind of relationship do you have with other irrigators, with boaters, with these stakeholders? Tell us about that relationship, or relationships, I would assume.
Well, we've built them over time. I mean, I've been working for the Bureau for 35 years now, all on the Dolores Project. And so growing up, I've been around these people. I mean, relationships don't happen overnight. Yeah, and so, yeah, I know the irrigators personally. I know their kids. Not all of them, but a large portion of them. You know, we've done things together. I understand their needs and their problems. We've just had a, you know, time together over these years.
In those relationships, knowing people at that level, what's the both ends of it? What's the hardest part of knowing people at that level when you're working with water, and what's the easiest, greatest parts about working with those folks at that level?
Well, the hardest part is probably the education, the communication, getting them to see the big picture. They're just like us, Sam. I mean, you get to doing your own thing. You got your head down. You're not looking at the big picture. And I think that's the way it is with, you know, the farmers and the ranchers and the irrigators is, you know, they're too busy taking care of their stuff to try and make a living. Sometimes they don't see the big picture and what the project's really all about.
And then that easier, that strong part, what is easy about the relationship you have with these folks?
Oh, they're just neat people. I mean, they're fun to be around. I enjoy their company and I enjoy helping them work through their problems. And mm-hmm. I think they enjoy learning what's going on.
Okay. And then, boaters, what's your relationship with people who put river boats on the river and go floating?
I like to think it's pretty good. I'm sure some of them don't think it's that great, but no, they're not any different than the farmers. They all got the same wants, the needs, and everything else. They're out. They don't get to do that often. I mean, since the project, you know, we did take away some of the boating, and you know, we work hard to try and get them what we committed to. You know, the Bureau committed to them, and so we work very hard to try and do that. A huge amount of effort's put into trying to communicate and set schedules and help them get on the river. And, yeah, I think we got a good communication.
Quickly, what's the hardest part about the relationship with boaters?
Same as the farmers. They get single-minded. Mm-hmm. You know, they look at that, and all of us, we just got our own things going, and we don't look at the big picture. You know, there's just some hard facts that we can't control with the boating, you know, the releases.
As always, our time flies by here. That is the time. That's the end of the show. Thanks for coming on. And you have a meeting coming up, public meeting, Wednesday, March 15th?
Yes, 6 o'clock at the Dolores Community Center.
And what's going to happen there?
We're going to go over the operating plan and try and lay out some preliminary schedules.
Okay.
And let people see what kind of flows they're up against so they can decide when they want to boat. And
open to the public.
Yeah, and just get comments and
okay.
See where we're at.
Wednesday, March 15th, open to the public at the Dolores Community Center. Make that happen. Vern, thanks so much for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, join us next month. We will have Dustin Goodall, a fifth-generation rancher, on the air to speak to these same conversations around Dolores River relationships. Take care. Thanks for listening. Austin, it's back to you.